Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, they are solely those of the host, guest, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, or other hosts or advertisers. Good evening, and welcome to A New Beginning. Your host this evening, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Welcome to any and everyone that's joining us this evening. We have a treat tonight. We have a special guest, very special guest, to share in their testimony. And we look to encourage that person and to hopefully not look for too many details. You know, a lot of times we look for the little details and stuff, you know, the little particulars. But we shouldn't be concerned about that. Just concerned that this person is willing to come before us and share, and where they used to be, how they came from point A to point Z, where they are now. Okay, I'm going to have a scripture, and then we have prayer, and then we'll get started. Okay, all right. My prayer this evening is Psalm 103, Psalm chapter 103, verses 1 to 6. Okay, all right. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, and it's a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We ask God to bless the hearers of the word and the reading of the word, because the word itself is blessed. And we just want to thank God for another opportunity, another day, our life, health, and strength, and how he has brought us through this day. Whether we're on top of the mountain or whether we're down in the valley, we are here, and we honor him, giving him the glory. Had it not been for him, we would have been destroyed. And I truly thank him for my time and the opportunity to come before you on this Crown Talking Drum Radio Network with my ministry, New Beginnings, Ambassador for Christ. I didn't always used to be here. I didn't always used to be talking about spiritual things. I was a street guy, used to be a crack addict for 20-plus years, but God, y'all. And just think about all the ones that didn't do crack cocaine and what God can do for you. All right? Okay. Let's have prayer. those prayer requests, you can call out to God on your own. Just going to be a general prayer for the sick and afflicted, the bereaved families, for comforting, those that need encouragement, those that are lost in the world, looking and can't find, those are stuck in darkness with no help. No, praying for those that need encouragement, those that need to find a way that God will lead them through his word on how to live accordingly in this chaotic world. It's very chaotic, y'all. It's just awful in this world. But to God be the glory. Okay? All right, now. Okay, let's pray. Most High God in heaven and in earth, and underneath the earth, we honor you and truly thank you, God, for coming down here to see about little old us, because we couldn't take care of ourselves. We honor you, Father God, because it was you that created us and not we ourselves. We were created in your image, in your likeness, but living in this sinful world, Father God, and having sinful thoughts and sinful flesh, Father God, our minds have been warped, and we have been continually bombarded, Father God, with ideas and thoughts, sinful thoughts of lust and imaginations, Father God. But we claim those things to have been taken out of our lives, Father God, taken away from us, Lord God, by you, your spirit that dwells within us. And we thank you and honor you, Lord, to lead and guide us into all truth and to help the next man, woman, boy, and girl. It's not about us, Father God. It's not about us wanting to get a pat on our back, Lord God, but it's about us having our minds opened, Father God, and wanting to know the truth and be a part of the truth, that we can help ourselves and help the next person in line, help our families, Father God, our neighbors on either side, Lord God, and to realize that sin can keep a person from getting healed. Praise God. Sin stands in the way of a lot of things, Father God, and we ask you to reveal those things to us that we're doing that are not right, that are sinful, and holding us back in our lives, Father God. We're not able to progress to the next level, Father God, because of that sin that's hidden in our heart. Our hearts are very deceitful, Father God, and who can know it? Who can know it? There are dark places in our heart, and we ask you, Lord God, to shine a light. Shine a light, Father God. Reveal those things so we can get rid of them, Lord God, because you promised. You did promise, Father God. If we lived holy, we have opportunity at everlasting life, because there is life after this life, Father God. There is everlasting life with you, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and him, the Holy Spirit. And there is him. Father God, leading God is to do the right thing, to put aside lust and envy, greed, be better individuals, to live the life, to let our light so shine, Father God. As I said, it's not about us. It's not about us. This is our reasonable service, Father God. We were created to worship you. But we're worshiping everything else, Father God, in the world, worshiping each other, worshiping material things that are going to waste away. But help us, Father God. We come to you at this time to ask you, help us, Lord God, to get a prayer through, a meaningful prayer, Lord God, not want of excess to be saved. Help us, Lord God, to come to you. We ask that your spirit draw us, Father God, and to keep us in the way. As I said, the world is chaotic. There's confusion. There's degradation. There's evil, which was not made for us, but for the devil and his angels. God, help us. Help us, Lord, stay in the way. And we give you the praise, glorify your holy name, and truly thank you once again for the participants in this ministry tonight, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, y'all. Welcome to each and every one of you that are joining us this evening to be a part of this ministry. And we look to God to lead and guide us and to give us what we need and to show support, encouragement. Not criticism, not envy, not hatred, but a love, because we were once there ourselves, Father God. And we just want this special guest tonight to feel comfortable and share. And again, There's no need to ask for details. God just brought her out, and that's the main thing. Okay? All righty. So we're going to bring her on right now. We're bringing
Hello,
her on
my
right
name
now.
Is
Good
Chris.
Evening. Okay. Okay,
yes,
Chris,
I'm here.
Whenever you're okay, good. Whenever you're ready,
okay.
you can do your thing, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
As I said, my name is Chris. I appreciate everyone taking the time out of your day to allow me to tell my story and to listen. And it's my hope that just somebody, you know, that may be going through anything in your life, and it encourages you to know that if I can make it, so can you through prayer and belief in yourself. And I'd like to start, I guess, at the beginning of everything. So the date was April 5th, 2018. But before that, there was things that took place to get me to where I was. I was at my previous job, pretty much all I did was, you know, talk. I was what you call like a supervisor. And I had this cough for like a few weeks, couldn't shake it. And I pretty much bought every over-the-counter medicine that there was, you know, between cough syrup, cold and flu medications, and nothing was really shaking it. So my throat was starting to become on fire, and I knew I needed my voice for what I did, and I was around people every day. So I had reached out to my doctor, and of course she wanted to see me. So I scheduled an appointment. The day that I had took off was April 5th, 2018. And I remember getting up that morning, and some things are still cloudy of that day. I don't remember a lot, but I was told a lot of things. But I remember going to the doctor's office. I remember the ladies at the front. They was the same ladies that I've been seeing for years. And, you know, they checked me in, and then they noticed that it was the wrong day. So I had got my dates mixed up. And so I told them, you know, listen, I've got this cough. Like, I need some help. Like, I don't know what needs to be done, but I need to see my doctor or something. Call me a prescription in or something. So she had went back and spoke with the nurse and spoke with my doctor, and so they had came back and told me that they would call me something in. And so I was living in Lenore at the time, so I had ended up going up the highway. I was going to pick up a friend, and I made it to pick him up and was on the highway headed back. He said he wanted to ride with me. So during that time, I went into cardiac arrest while I was driving. I don't remember, you know, how I was. From what he told me, I started shaking. And I just went limp. And when he realized it, you know, he noticed that, you know, the car was going faster. And on that highway, it's around 50, 55 miles per hour. So I'm probably, knowing me, going at least 65, 70. So he had to get control of the car. I can imagine myself being in his shoes and not knowing what's going on. But he had to get control of the car. At that time, it was 2:28 p.m. Once we wrecked into the median, and he called 911, and they dispatched EMS. Before EMS actually got there, there was other bystanders that was driving. Of course, they stopped. There happened to be a nurse that had stopped. And the 911 agent had told him to, you know, of course, get me out of the car and start CPR. So that's what he done. And the nurse that had stopped, she helped. By then, the fire department and first responders had came. They started doing the compressions. And the fire department actually defibbed me twice. They shot me twice. I was still pulseless at the time. By the time EMS arrived, it was 2:43. I was actually in the grass where the median was. So they was on the other side of the road, so they had to pull me through the median to get me onto the stretcher so they could get me to the closest hospital. During that time, I was shocked 7 more times. So by the last shock, I call them my EMS angels. They didn't give up on me. They continued to, you know, do the CPR. They did the epinephrine, you know, all the medications that you try to, you know, when you try to revive somebody. And they continued. And by that 7th shock, at that time, it was 3:04. So from 2:28 to 3:04, I was gone. At 3:04, that last shock, she was actually able to get a pulse, and I was able to breathe on my own, along with the medications they was giving me. And there was also, they had bagged me to, you know, help me with my oxygen and stuff. And so they got me to the hospital, the closest hospital at the time. Of course, I don't remember any of that part. I actually was able to meet the EMS responders, and, you know, they told me a lot, of course. My parents told me a lot of things. What I call is a near-death experience. You know, I read about it, of course. I heard about it. I watched different shows, and I never knew until you actually experienced it yourself. And what I do remember is I remember feeling cold. I didn't see a white light. You know, I had people ask me, you know, what did you see? I didn't see a white light. I could see my body, which was really weird to me, because, you know, I'm unconscious, but I could see my body, and it was like a coldness, a cold feeling. I also could see a lady. She was holding a baby. I couldn't see her face. But I could see the baby's face. Still trying to figure that part out, what that meant. I kind of have an idea, but it was just something that I never expected to have to go through. Once I was into the hospital, my mama told me that they had packed me with ice. So they had to put me in a unconscious state, so I was in a coma. And I'm assuming the coldness that I felt was where they had packed me with the ice. And from that hospital, they airlifted me to a bigger hospital. And from there, you know, it was just pretty much a lot of prayer, touch and go, you know, what they would have to do. I was in the coma for a couple of days. I believe I came to, because this all happened on a Thursday, so I believe that Saturday, I think, is when my mama told me I kind of came to, but I didn't know what was going on, and I wasn't very nice. But, you know, I was out of my mind at that point. You know, I was incapacitated, immobilized, and scared, you know, because why am I in the hospital? Why all these people around me, you know, and why, you know, everybody seems to be upset and, you know, like all this stuff is going on. And I guess just trying to handle it the best that I can in that state of mind that I was in. it was hard, I would imagine. I know it was hard on my family, my friends, and so I was in the hospital from the 5th through the 22nd. During that time, I believe I was out of it for a few weeks, and I think, you know, it was hard on my mama especially.
It's going to be okay. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. You can take a moment. You can take a moment.
You know, I had a lot of support, that's for sure. While I was there, my family, of course, and the bishop, I know he checked on my mom and my family, and it was a lot of prayer. During the time when I just was kind of out of my mind, I wasn't really coherent, of course. I didn't really know what was going on. So I think I recognized my mama, but I just wasn't really there. And so I believe at that point she just didn't really know what to do with news and, you know, pray. And so I believe the bishop had called my aunt and told her to go and anoint me. And I believe she said after that, you know, they came down, her and my uncle, and she anointed over me. And I started remembering and knowing what was going on and becoming more coherent. The doctors, they couldn't do anything at the time because of I couldn't take command. So I had to be coherent enough to take command before they could do any type of, you know, operation or anything. And because they don't know why I went into cardiac arrest, they decided that a defibrillator was the best option in case, you know, my heart were to stop again. So I had the surgery, I believe it was on the 18th. I know I had to go in for an MRI, and of course I'm claustrophobic and I can't deal with, you know, closed spaces. So that when they was attempting to do it, I couldn't handle it. So they took me out and they disposed it for the next day. And they sedated me, of course, and I was able to go through the MRI. And that's when they they decided that, you know, they was going to have to implant the defibrillator. And during the process, you know, I had, you know, 0% of, you know, no brain activity. And then my heart was 0 to 5% function on its own at that time. And they did the operation on the 18th. I remember the pain. They had me on some good drugs, though. I was doped up pretty good. I had wonderful nurses. I don't remember all the doctors that came in. I remember there was one particular one, because there was just so many different people that was coming in. And it was the pain. It hurt. So I still have the scar, and sometimes I can feel it. I still, of course, I can. They say I wouldn't feel the defibrillator, but I do feel it, you know. But I believe that was the right choice that they made. You know, of course, my parents was, you know, there to make the decisions that I couldn't make. So
right.
I had a nurse that was, I had a couple nurses. They were just great because I was in ICU, I believe, for most of the time until they put me in my own room, like around the last week after I had the surgery. I remember a story my mama had told me that there was I think it was a young lady in another room in ICU, and I think she was pretty much gone at that point, and they had asked my mom to come in and pray for her, and
mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, that could have been me, you know. I could have not made it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I think about a lot of things sometimes. I try not to, mm-hmm. you know, bother people with my thoughts sometimes. Sometimes I think I put on this face that I'm okay, and sometimes I'm not.
Right.
But I am thankful to be here. So.
Mm-hmm.
We
thank God for you.
After the surgery, I guess the doctors just assumed that, you know, I was okay, like to leave like the day after or so, and I was in so much pain, mm-hmm. and I was just like, no, mm-hmm. you know, I can't do this. And I had this one nurse, and I'll never forget, and he was just like, you're not going nowhere. Like, I'm not going to allow them to, you know, to discharge me. There's no way, you know, because at that point I was still, mm-hmm. I couldn't even, you know, get up to go to the bathroom on my own. I was still using the,
I understand.
I forget what it's called, but, you know, where you have to use the bathroom, you know, where you're at. You know, they give you the little thing to pee in and to do number two. So,
Right.
I had, I remember some things when I was there, too, because I hallucinated quite a bit. I remember there was a baby at the end of my bed. Mm-hmm. I thought it was my nephew's baby. And I was just like, why didn't Matt tell me that he had a baby? Like, I didn't know, you know, like, all this happened while I was in the hospital, you know, and I kind of felt like, why is all this stuff happening while I'm here? Like, why didn't I know all this?
Right.
But it was just a hallucination. Mm-hmm. One of the nurses that I had, I thought she was a robot. I didn't think she was real. She would talk to me. I felt like she was talking as a robot, and it was just so weird.
Yeah.
That's why I said that medication is strong. It's really strong.
Yeah.
I remembered I was having a conversation. It was actually with the friend that, you know, I say that, you know, he is a big part of saving my life. I'm not going to use full names, but I'll use a nickname, and I call him Rose. But he did the immediate CPR, and I know the doctors told me that if it wasn't for the immediate CPR, I wouldn't have made it. So I remember, I don't know, having a conversation with him, and we had a whole conversation, and I felt like he was there. And when I talked to him, he told me that he wasn't there, you know, and I hadn't talked to him because, you know, they wouldn't let me, you know, really talk on the phone at the time. So it was just a lot of hallucinations that I was going through. I think once I got to my room and when they took me out of ICU, I think that was really when I kind of understood what I was doing there.
Right.
I was really being shielded from a lot. I think, you know, my parents, they're very protective of me. So they didn't tell me a lot of things, but, you know, I learned over time. But the 22nd, that was the day that they finally let me go. I was feeling better enough to go. I remember my brother, he came. My brother was there, I think, every day. I got real close with Union, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
He was there.
Well, I mean, can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, sure.
As you're walking down, how long, do you remember how long, or does anyone tell you how long you're in the hospital altogether?
I was there from the 5th to the 22nd. So,
of the same
month?
It was
like over 2 weeks. On April 5th to April 22nd. Mm-hmm.
Only
yeah.
2 weeks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the grace of God. By the grace. Yeah.
By the grace of God, yeah, because, you know, there for a while, I don't know if they really knew what my outcome was going to be because, you know, I didn't have any, you know, brain activity at the beginning and no oxygen to my brain. So when I came to, I think it was, you know, a miracle for everybody that I was, you know, even able to talk. Now, I was told I was rude, and, you know, I would apologize for that, but they had to sedate me quite a few times because I was trying to get out of the hospital bed, and, you know, because to me, I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. Like, you know, what am I doing here?
Right.
So,
A lot of that may have been, you know, a lot of it may have been shocked, but then, too, you the main thing is that you have a praying mother. And you have a praying family. And then, too, the pastor, he's a praying man. So there was a lot of prayers, a lot of healing prayers, you know, and a lot of restoration prayers, you know.
Right.
Because we're believers. We believe that God can do these things. And He did it.
He did.
You know?
He did.
Yeah. Yes, He did. Okay. Now, when you feel comfortable, I'll open up the mics for comments, or would you like to keep on a little longer?
Well, I mean, I've pretty much said, like, the main things, you know, that I really wanted to get out. I wanted this to be, you know, encouragement for, you know, anybody that could be going through anything in their life, you know, because... One thing's for sure, two things for certain, I consider myself a soldier because it's not been easy, you know, because even now, you know, there's doctor's appointments. I'm on like 7-8 different medications and, you know, I have a defibrillator. And I, for a long time, you know, I lived in fear of my defibrillator, you know, and I had to come to terms that this is a part of me now. Because in my mind it's like, okay, this thing might go off at any time, you know, what if, you know, it goes off and they can't bring me back, you know, like they was able to, so, and I know it was God, but it's still, you know, being realistic, you know, and being the human in me, I lived in fear and I had a, there was a deep depression that I went through, and it was hard, and if it wasn't for, you know, my family and my close friends, I don't know how I would have made it, because for a minute I just kind of gave up, and I had to pray and bring myself out of that, because, you know, I never really experienced that type of depression before, so, you know, I had to... I just wanted to go back to how things were, but I had to accept that it wasn't going to be that way anymore.
Right.
And I had to accept the new me. And that's what I did. I just accepted it.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you this real quick. Your life at that time, when this happened, can you give us a little something about your life during that time when this happened, as to compare it as now? Has there been any changes in your life?
Yeah, definitely. I was a smoker every day. You know, I smoked cigarettes, and, you know, I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Well, thank
you. I wouldn't say that I partied, you know, like every weekend or anything like that. But, you know, my lifestyle at the time was I just did what I wanted to do, you know, like I could do anything and not really feel like in fear of something was going to, you know, hurt my heart, you know, because I never knew that I had this issue, you know, all through these years. I never, you know, had to go to the doctor because I had heart complications. You know, there was no signs or symptoms of anything like this would happen to me. And even now my doctors still don't know, you know, why it happened. You know, they say it could be genetic, but not really sure.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I live my life how I wanted to live my life. And, you know, now I can't do that. So,
Now,
that's definitely been a big change. Yes.
Right, right. Yeah, I just wanted people to understand where you were then and where you are at now. Has your belief system changed, or has the effect of God's prayer touched your heart to believe that much more in Him for yourself, for you to pray for yourself, not for for someone else to come for you, but for you to believe within yourself that it was God doing this for you, and that God can bring you, you know, through certain situations?
Yeah. I will say that there was a time when I hit the depression that I lost all faith in God, because even though I knew that He was the answer, the reason why I was still here, I still had, like, why did this happen to me? Like, you know, why me? Why did you do this to me? Like, I felt like, you know, I'm not a bad person. You know, I'm not the best, but I'm not a bad person. I don't hurt nobody. I don't do anything to nobody. I just, you know, I mind my business. And it was that question, why me? So I lost my faith in God for a while. You know, I didn't want to go to church. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. So I lost faith. And like I said, I had to accept that acceptance was what was the big thing for me. And once I accepted it, you know, I was able to, my faith was, it came back, you know, and the prayer got me out of that depression that I was in.
Yes.
So,
Okay. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Okay. Would it be all right to open up the mics right now and get some comments? I'm going to ask that please keep your comments to about 3 minutes, okay, if possible. Now, first, I'm going to let Mom get started here, and hopefully she doesn't take too long, okay? But I want her to speak on this about you, her daughter. Go ahead.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
It was very devastating when I got the phone call. And when I arrived to the hospital in Lincolnton, I wasn't expecting to see or hear what I heard. As a matter of fact, I was torn all to pieces. And when they, the nurse came out and wanted me to go into the room and they wanted to talk to me, I refused to go because I was afraid that they were going to tell me that she was no longer here. And I wouldn't go with them. And they begged me and begged me because the doctors needed to talk with me. So I finally, my husband and I finally went in. And two doctors come in and talk to me, and one got on his knees before me on the floor, and he explained the situation to me and told me that they were going to send her to Charlotte Medical Center, and they had done everything that they could do, and that she they're hoping that she was going to be all right. They'd already sent and called for a helicopter, and the helicopter was coming.
Okay.
And they let us hear. But I want to say this. For a while, I know that I'm a child of God, And I know that I'm saved, mm-hmm. sanctified, and the Holy Ghost abiding in me. But all
yes.
I could think about was the way I saw my daughter and the way she
mm-hmm.
was.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I couldn't pray. I couldn't help her, and I couldn't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I had
God.
To talk to
right.
the Lord about it because I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday, and I stayed with her and sat with her. And that Bishop Gray and Elder
yes.
Gomillion came. The bishop had
uh-huh.
prayer with her before he left.
Yes.
And that Saturday,
yes.
I was there with her reading, singing songs and
mm-hmm.
everything until mm-hmm. they come in and they had to work with her. She just all
right.
of a sudden just woke up, and she
oh.
was wild, very
the God
wild.
God be the glory. Woke up.
And
yeah,
I couldn't take it. There were so many that come in, and they were holding her down. And I had to leave the
yeah,
room, and I went to the bathroom, and
mm-hmm.
I cried out to God. And
uh-huh.
I couldn't help
yeah.
her because I couldn't pray to myself. And he spoke to me in that bathroom, and he said, I spared her life. And
mm-hmm.
when he said that,
mm-hmm.
I realized that it was the truth. She could have
mm-hmm.
been gone. He brought her
That's
back.
Right.
And I've been
yes,
praying. Again, ever
mm-hmm.
since. But it was
Amen.
Devastating, and it was very hard. To God be the glory, and I
yes.
rejoiced
yes.
in him for bringing her back. And I
That's
know
right.
he has a good plan for her life.
Yes, he does.
I know that
yes.
he does.
Yes.
He has a purpose
yes.
for her.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I took care of her when we brought her home. I did everything.
Mm-hmm.
I bathed
mm-hmm.
her. I did everything for her except feed her. She could feed herself, but everything else I did.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank God that she has a praying mother, a believing mother.
Yes,
That's
I give
big.
God the
praying.
Glory.
Just what if you didn't believe for her? You know, if you didn't believe, what would she be? She may not even be here now if you want to believe mm-hmm.
That's right.
But
have you ever been to the point where you didn't know what to say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lost for what?
I was at that point. I didn't know how to pray or what to say or anything. And I said, I'm no good to myself or even my daughter
mm-hmm.
until God spoke
mm-hmm.
those words. I spurred her life.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
That unction from the Holy Ghost hit me, and I started crying out
yes.
to God and praying.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they knocked on the bathroom door, and they said, Miss Logan said, if you
mm-hmm.
want to see your daughter, you can come and see her. And she was sitting up in the bed.
Ooh.
And they didn't know if she recognized me or not. And when I
uh-huh.
walked in the
yeah.
room, I said, do you know who I am? And she looked
uh-huh.
at me, and she said, yes, my mama. And, oh, gosh, that
Praise
was such
God.
A load off of me just that much.
Oh, yeah.
I praise God.
Oh, yeah.
I praise
God.
God. I praise
yeah.
God. I praise God.
Yes. We thank God
he brought
for
me through. He brought her through.
Uh-huh.
He brought me through.
Yeah. Yes.
We still had a long
yes.
road to go.
And then, too, he didn't leave you by yourself. Because
no, he
you
didn't.
Had family. You had family that had healing in their hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. That's the
yeah,
truth. He used so many
healing.
Different ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That were praying about
right.
her situation. Because
mm-hmm.
she actually
yes.
died.
Yes.
But God
mm-hmm.
brought her back.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a part of God's plan. She's
yes,
a part
she
of
is.
God's plan. Yes, yes. Yes, she is.
That's
and we
reason.
All believe. Yes, we're believers
yes,
and we're
do.
All believing God. He didn't bring her back for nothing. He didn't bring her back to
That's
live
right.
her life as she was living before. Some changes
Amen.
Are coming.
Amen.
Changes coming. Yes.
I believe
yes.
that. Praise
yes.
the Lord.
And I wanted to allow the one with the healing hands, if she has anything to say real quick.
Praise God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
You shared that with us. I'm so glad you shared, because some
God.
Of the words you had said, I hadn't heard that before. And I thank God that you opened up and shared that with us. I thank God that prayer was covering you. Even
yes,
though you went through all that, prayer was covering you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes,
and you're still covering you, buddy. And don't never feel like you're alone, because you can call on your aunties.
Mm-hmm.
Don't never feel like I can't call on nobody. You can call on your aunties, because we love you. And all you got to do is call, because we all need somebody. Praise God. So
that's
been brave to make up your mind, I'm going to share this. And you don't know who else listening that this is going to help somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
right.
God is still watching over you.
Mm-hmm.
He's still
watching
over you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for what
Hallelujah.
He's doing. And what he's going to do, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer
mm-hmm.
is the key. And faith unlocks the door. You'll be encouraged.
Yes,
you'll be encouraged. Because God, has got great things for you. He's not through with you. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he knows better than we know ourselves. Praise God.
Right.
So you just be very.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
She has something else that she needed to tell you that happened to her just recently. I told her that she needs to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember,
Christian? Yeah, I was at the store, and, you know, I always tell people that, you know, they look, and usually I'm thinking, okay, they see my hair, you know, they're amazed. It's usually like, you know, the older white ladies, and they, this one lady, I noticed she kept looking at me, and I was just like, okay, she's probably going to say something about my hair. And so she walked over towards me, and she said, you know, you have a light around you. And I said, a light? So I'm looking like, what's she talking about? And then when I realized what she meant, she said, oh, yeah, she said, you have a light around you. She said, you've been through some things. And I said, yeah, I have. And, you know, this woman didn't know me. I'd never seen her before in my life. And she said, you have a story to tell. And I said, wow. And she walked off. And that was it. But that was kind of my inspiration that I had to it's time for me to, you know, to let the world know, you know, what happened, what I went through. So,
okay. And you just remember what you have that light, and God is light. You know, you're walking in the light. You more or less don't even know right now, until the Spirit of God reveals it to you what He wants you to do. Okay. Just be encouraged now. Like I said, you got believers all around you. If you need to call somebody, you can call somebody. And it's not that we're going to preach to you. We're just going to give you the truth. Okay?
Right, man.
That's how we're going to do that. That's how we're going to do it. Now, real quick, you had invited a couple more people, and I wanted to see if they had any comments or even encouragement for you. 404, do you have any encouragement? Any words of hope for Christian? Chris? 404? No? Okay. All right. There's one more. You have one. 221? Caller, 221? Would you have an encouragement for Chris? Caller 221, any encouragement for Chris?
I think that's me.
You're on air. You're on air. Your mic is on. Okay. I guess they didn't want to speak on it. Okie dokie. All righty. Okay. Chris, any last comments or... I still have your mom on.
Yeah, I have some thank yous, you know, for my God and Savior, my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, my nephew, and my nieces, my aunts and uncles, my sis, my best friend, Dee, Whit, Andy, Tiff, Toy, Chi, some of my coworkers that was there, Connie, Zena, Leslie.
Right.
My cousin passed, Melanie, cousin Lori, my doctors, Superville and Alm, my EMS angels, Jennifer and Tony, my bishop, Brian, church members, and last but not least, Roosevelt.
Would you have any comment or encouragement for Chris? Phone number 638. Your mic is live. Would you have a comment or encouragement thought for Chris? Okay, I guess not. Let's see. Was that you, 638?
Good evening. Hey, this is Tamara.
Yes,
I'm a little bit out of my comfort. How y'all doing?
Hey,
Myra.
Hey, Kristen. I just want to say, you know, I love you and that I'm thankful and grateful that God moved you to share not just you but your mom too, what y'all experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that your message touch someone, give them the encouragement to push. I know your story is your story, but it may reflect someone else's life. They may be dealing with something different, drug-related or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the message is not to give up. And we know, you may not know, you know, God's plan, why things happen to us. But when he brings you out of it, when he wakes you up, when he gives us that strength to go, we don't have to know, you know, why the bad things happened. We're just going to thank him for allowing us to get past that. So I'm thankful that you've done this, and I love you.
I love you. Thank you.
To God be the glory. There's a reason, Chris. You may have felt it was time from this woman telling you about a light, but more or less it's God's spirit moving. It's time for his will to be done in your life. That's how it happens most times. Just because he brought you through what you've been through, He's not doing that for you to go back to your comfortable life, whatever that was before this happened.
Right.
Just like me, you know, he brought me out of the world after all that long time doing drugs and everything, and I was fine in my head, and I wanted to leave the country, and boom, before you know it, he sent me right back down here to my wife. And, you know, and it was no more.
Yeah.
It was his will being done in my life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, you just thank God. You have to glorify him, thank him, because even though the doctors were there to help, you know, God used them to help you. And not them, for the Lord that using through them, you know, they wouldn't have been able to do nothing. So the Spirit of God, you know, we recognize, we believers, we see what's going on. You know, we can't want to do. God, he's not going to make you do anything. It's your decision for you to do your free will. But it's for you to understand, to know that this is God's will for your life. You know, you may not realize it right now. And like I said, we're not going to preach at you. You know, we're not going to tell you. You need to get saved. You need to go. No, we can't do that. You have to decide for yourself, you know. And to me, this is a beginning for a new way of life for you. You have testified. Right. You have gotten up out of you. You have gotten rid of it. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. Just thanking God that you still have life, health, and strength in your body, and you have a sound mind.
Yes. Okay?
And you have people in your life that love you, and they want to take care of you, and they want to share in what God has given them, because we can't keep it unless we get. We can't keep it unless we give it away, and that will help to strengthen you, and seeing and understanding what God has for your life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
And just keep giving God the glory. You know, you don't have to fall down there on your knees all the time. You can talk to Him any and all times through the day. You know, just thanking Him, ask Him to lead and guide you. What do you have for me to do, Lord? You know, put me in that position in order to receive your blessings. You know, we can't get something for nothing, to give something up in order to receive. Okay? So you have started giving up your past. You know, I didn't hear you go back doing what you were doing. So this is a new day, a new way of life for you. And it's time for you to think about newness. Each and every day is a new day He has given all of us. So
Amen.
We can do a new thing. You know, we all can do a new thing, whether we've been in church 30 years or a week or just a couple of hours. We can all do something new that we never done before, you know, and always give God the glory. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always. And yes, I got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything left you want to say?
I thank everybody for giving me this opportunity and, you know, taking the time to listen. And I hope it helps, you know, it's just one person. I hope it helps. Now, I do want to say that the condition that I have is called cardiomyopathy, non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, sudden death, class 2 and 3. I'll forever live with a defibrillator. My heart function has improved from 20 to 25 to 30. Yeah. It's been here probably
Praise the Lord.
So that's the main thing.
I'm just gonna
lose my truth.
Okay.
And I thank you.
To God be the glory. Yeah. No problem. As I said, God bless me. He brought me out the street, and this ministry, it's considered a ministry. My brother said it's not a talk show. It's a ministry. This ministry blessed me to be here over 5 years, and it's truly a blessing. And it gives me an outlet in order to encourage somebody else and let them speak out, you know, what God has done for them. And we can share. And we can encourage each other, you know.
Right.
And to let that next person know that there is life. There is life, and we have to just reach out and get it and get away from the norm, you know, from what people call the norm, because the only norm was in Eden. That was the normal. Any and everything outside of that is not normal because it's evil.
Right.
You know. But we thank God for you. Anytime you want to use this time, just let me know. Anybody else, just let me know. I'm at get in touch with me on Facebook. Just say hi. Get in touch with me, whatever else. No problem. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. With that, everyone, shalom. Have a blessed
Shalom.
Evening. Shalom. Shalom.
Have a blessed Edom also.
Yes, alone.
Good night.